Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Wednesday. Hard to believe we're in the middle of the week. It's hump day already. A lot of great discussions been going on the last few days. We've got a great show for you. We're going to cover everything from classified documents and Hunter Biden scandals to the war in Ukraine waged by Russia and some major developments today. The United States, Germany joined Great Britain in sending some serious hardware tanks to Ukraine to help prepare for an expected Russian counteroffensive coming in the near future. This is a major moment in the war, a major commitment by the United States and the West. Been delayed. A lot of people think it's shown some weakness on the behalf of the Biden administration, but we are now giving the sort of hardware to Ukraine it needs to succeed in the next phase of the war. And we're going to have the perfect guest to handicap that at the end of the show. Dan Hoffman, former CIA station chief in Moscow, really one of the intelligence community's premier Russian experts. He's going to join us at the end of the show to describe why today's events were so momentous and what to expect in the weeks and months ahead. And also, one of the things that Dan Hoffman does that President Biden has failed to do, describe why we're there, describe what needs to be done and what we would define as a victory. He's going to give us that, even though our president hasn't. I'm pretty sure he'll be pretty critical that President Biden hasn't done enough to explain to the American people our involvement in this war. But we'll get more of that at the end of the show. We're going to start off the show today with a familiar guest, one of our good friends, someone who understands classified documents, intelligence, all the things that are at the heart of this. He is none other than Kash Patel, former chief investigative counsel for the House Intelligence Committee, former chief of staff to the Pentagon, former National Security Council advisor to the president for counterterrorism, former federal prosecutor. He's going to kick us off. We're going to get you up to date on all the things that are involved in the scandal. In the second part of the show, we had an amazing interview with Jim Jordan last night, Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He not only lays out what they're going to investigate, and it's important to investigate and expose wrongdoing, but he is already trying to find solutions that the American people could say, hey, you not only identified a problem, you fixed it. And in the second segment of this show, Jim Jordan is going to give us his prescription about how he's going to go about to solve the censorship problems that so deeply troubles us, whether it's at universities, social media, federal government, universities. He's got a big announcement he's going to make in the middle of this show. You're going to want to check that out. And then we'll finish up with the Ukraine-Russia war and one of the country's premier Russian experts, Dan Hoffman, former CIA station chief in Moscow. What a lineup. Kash Patel, Jim Jordan, Dan Hoffman, back to back to back on Wednesday morning here in America. We'll get right to that lineup right after this quick commercial break. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain. And you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at TakeLean.com. That's TakeLean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at TakeLean.com. One more time, TakeLean, LEAN.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down. And my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. If your head is spinning by all of the things that have occurred that in real life feel more like a fiction movie, like the FBI agent was in bed with a Russian oligarch, or there's classified documents in everybody's house, somebody wakes up every day, there's more classified documents. Truth sometimes has a funny way of being stranger and more compelling than fiction. Our next guest, he's done more than anyone to reassert truth among all the fiction that's been in Washington. He's the former chief counsel of the House Intelligence Committee when it unraveled the Russia collusion case. He is the former chief of staff to the Pentagon who offered those National Guard troops to the Capitol and was turned down, silly, the action by Nancy Pelosi and her team, and of course was on the National Security Council advising President Trump on such important things as taking out big terrorists like General Soleimani in Iran. He is none other than our good friend, Kash Patel. Kash, great to have you on the show.
Hey, John, thanks so much for having me on that show, and because that's quite a lovely intro. I'm not sure I deserve it, but it's good to be with you.
Well, listen, your record is one of public service, and you continue to motivate people to get involved in public service, to not give up in the fight. A lot of people throw up their hands and say, this system is so broke, it can't be fixed. But you've never done that. You keep working to fix the system. And I think, you know, whether it's Fight with Cash or the books that you're writing for children, for parents to describe these things to the children, you're making a difference every day. I want to start with, it seems like we wake up every day and somebody else has just found some classified documents. Yesterday, it's Mike Pence. Joe Biden is five or six times. Obviously, Donald Trump had the questions at Mar-a-Lago. When you step back now, it looks to me like beyond the finger pointing and the politics of this, the intelligence community, which spent a lot of time chasing false Russia collusion allegations and censoring people's legitimate opinions, hasn't been doing a good job of its core responsibility, protecting the documents that they itself classify.
You're absolutely right. And this is on full blast for the world to see now. And it's making our government from top to bottom look like a Mickey Mouse operation. I mean, I understand that there are documents when you're a vice president and whatnot that can inadvertently, when you pack up and leave, come with you. But that is a job of the 10,000 plus people that surround the White House to ensure that doesn't happen, not to mention the 55,000 intelligence officials that work for the United States. And so it's not even reckless or careless. It's just more of government interference and government corruption to say, we know better, we know what we're doing, you, the American people, don't. And now we have more classes. We've been saying this on your show since day one, John. You've been doing fantastic reporting. There's going to be more and more places that FIDES documents turn up. It's going to go on for a while. The Pence thing, maybe a little bit of a surprise, maybe not, but I'm sure any former vice president who's out there right now is probably doing a double check just in case. And, you know, whether it's criminal or not, it's somebody else's side on that one. But what it shows is what you highlighted, that we just do not have an organized system of intelligence collection and security that we're supposed to have. And maybe we'll fix it, but it doesn't look like this administration is going to be the one to do it.
Yeah, no, they have no regret. I mean, that's the problem. The first question when a president says, I have a regret of how this is playing out, but wait a second, you expose national secrets to danger in your home with your drug-addicted son and his Chinese business partners, and he has no regret. So regret is the first part of realizing there's a problem to be fixed. He doesn't seem to even have that. Is there an opportunity for Congress to bring the CIA, the NSA, say, hey, guys, you should have a better tracking system. Get on this. This is not rocket science, because we know our enemies are more determined than ever, right? The Chinese through academia, the Russians through the illegals. There are enormous counter-espionage programs, and we're making it really super easy for them to find secrets, it seems like.
Yeah, look, and this is a unique and rare opportunity for the House Intelligence Committee under the new chairman, Mike Turner, who I worked under and with during the Russiagate investigation under then-Chairman Devin Nunes. Mike has said he wants to get back to the bread and butter of intelligence oversight. Well, this could not be more front and center in that lane. So hopefully his under his chairmanship, the Intelligence Committee on the House side will introduce legislation to prevent this from happening and introduce punishments for when it does, and also take away the monies, the billions of dollars we're giving away to the intelligence communities until it can get their own records department straight. I mean, everyone's out there making fun of NARA and the librarians. Well, now look who has egg on their face, the intelligence librarians and the community and its staff who can't even exercise control of documents at the highest levels, especially when you're talking the White House and the Office of the Vice President, the Office of the President. So this is an opportunity for them to implement serious oversight and say this is a win for everybody. It's not even a political issue anymore. It's touched Democrats and Republicans, but it should be a primary national security issue to say we can't have documents like this in the wild ever, because who knows when they'll be found, who knows what's in them, and who knows how many people, more importantly, have touched them. And every time that happens, that's a possible crime. So I think hopefully the House Intel Committee and Kevin McCarthy can get going on this sort of reform, 702 reform, and so many other actual reforms that need to occur in the Intel committees.
It's really pretty remarkable. Another place that probably shook our confidence in the intelligence community was an indictment Monday of Charles McGonigal, the former head of the FBI counterintelligence unit in FBI. He played a role in the launching of Crossfire Hurricane. I think it was his email to John Maffa and Peter Strzok that started the whole George Papadopoulos allegation. What did you know about him? Did he come up on your radar when you were at House Intelligence?
Yeah, great question. You know, I don't recall that name specifically, but you'll not be surprised by the following. He is a Peter Strzok buddy and protege. So he was inside the corrupt government cabal that was running Russiagate. So no surprises there. And let's not kid his position or short it. He was the head of CI for the New York field office. That's the largest CI field office in the world for the FBI, and he was the number one. And he was working on the Russiagate hoax. But it doesn't end there. This guy, McGonigal, was getting paid by, as you said, Oleg Deripaska. And why is that name so familiar? Because he's a Russian tycoon who's a criminal, who's sanctioned criminally by the United States of America. And it does, as if that weren't bad enough, he's taking $250,000 from him to implement actions against American national security interests and rightfully being charged for that. But, John, it gets worse. You know, we've always said you and I follow the money. It's pretty simple. Okay, well, they follow the money to the payments to him. But why was Senator Mark Warner, of the head of the Intelligence Committee on the Senate side, texting this guy, Deripaska's attorney, directly during the Russiagate hoax? Why is it that Deripaska was paying Christopher Steele and then ended up paying McGonigal, and you have a United States Senator on the Intel Committee texting Deripaska's lawyers, and the text messages are available publicly, John. I think you did a great job in reporting them back when they were there. And they said, oh, there's no there, nothing to see here. And the Senate Intel Committee issued a statement saying, oh, we've known about this for a while. Well, did you know about Deripaska's connection to Steele and at McGonigal? These questions need to be asked, and these senators need to be put under microscope, and maybe even let's subpoena their emails and their text messages, because we now know the American public are owed answers as to what type of cover-up operation the FBI was running.
And what's so jaw-dropping about the McGonigal indictment is that they allege that he began representing this oligarch while he was still working for the FBI. He hadn't even left his job yet when he was already starting to do the work and get the compensation that is alleged in the indictment. That's a head-scratcher. Oleg Deripaska is like the Forrest Gump of the FBI, or the Forrest Gump of the Intelligence Committee. These are the things that I know from my reporting on the record. By the way, I interviewed Oleg Deripaska in 2018. He confirmed all of these things. In 2006, he gets sanctioned by the U.S. because the State Department believes he's connected to criminal elements in Russia. In 2009, the FBI, knowing that he's sanctioned, knowing that he had a desire to get in the United States and couldn't because of the sanctions, he is invited by the FBI to run a special rescue operation to find a missing FBI agent named Levinson in Iran. And as part of that, the FBI brings him into the United States on a CIA visa, and he gets in here, gets what he wants. He runs an operation, helps the FBI learn something about this missing guy. In 2015, he hires Christopher Steele, and then Christopher Steele turns around, writes a dossier suggesting that maybe this oligarch, Oleg Deripaska, was the key to connecting the Trump campaign to the Russia collusion, which, by the way, never happened. In 2016, the FBI interviews him at his home, and he tells them there's no Russia collusion going on. They ignore that. And in 2017, his lawyer is texting with Mark Warner on the Senate Intelligence Committee. It seems as though Oleg Deripaska is everywhere, and it turns out he was working with the head of counterintelligence at New York FBI on a research project for against one of his enemies or competitors in the oligarch space. He's everywhere. Should the FBI maybe pay more attention to who its people are consorting with, maybe a little less time on censoring our opinions?
Well, they should, but they won't, because they've weaponized the FBI and the DOJ, and your timeline is crystal clear. I think everyone should listen to that timeline. Actually, you should clip it and just put it out there for the world to hear. That was a wonderful timeline that people just don't, who don't know the characters and who don't know the conspiracies they were running, need to hear. But as it relates to Oleg Deripaska, let's put out the confidential human source records of Oleg Deripaska, if there are any. Let's let the American people see what actions the FBI took and how much money, U.S. taxpayer money, they gave to this guy. Because, look, at the end of the day, all these people, McGonigal, Strzok, Comey, Page, and so many others, conspired to perpetuate the biggest fraud in U.S. FBI DOJ history, to argue that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. Isn't the irony of all ironies that we now find out the lead investigator for the CIA division at the FBI was on the take for the Russian oligarch that was paying Christopher Steele to come up with the very genesis of that conspiracy? And now we have Democratic senators on the Intelligence Committee communicating with him on text messages that are unequivocal in their nature, and I hope the world goes and reads them. And now we know that the only people that were conspiring with the Russians to do anything was, of course, no surprise, the Democrats, the DNC, democratically elected people in the Senate, and, of course, the FBI and DOJ under then Comey and later under Chris Wray, where it continued. So they will tout this as some sort of victory. It's no surprise that this indictment was unsealed at the time it was unsealed, to give them a much-needed, quote-unquote, victory in terms of justice. But what it requires is a further in-depth look of the committees in Congress that were in communication with this sanctioned criminal and possible source for the FBI. And the American public needs to know what happens. They need to know everything about him, like we have learned about Christopher Steele. And that can only happen with the committee and oversight in the House, who can go and subpoena these records. But I don't know if they will.
There's an amazing moment in the secret annals of the Russia collusion case where the CIA sees what's going on, that the FBI doesn't have enough distance from Oleg Deripaska, specifically its informant, Christopher Steele. And it suggests that there be a revalidation of Christopher Steele before they use him as a source, because he may be compromised by his relationship with Oleg Deripaska and some other oligarchs that he was associating with. They literally say he could be compromised. It could be a way for his source network to have been penetrated by Russian intelligence, and the FBI ignores that advice. That's something that DNI John Ratcliffe finally gave us in 2020 when he declassified some of the footnotes in the Inspector General's report. The CIA could see how unholy the relationship between the FBI and its sources were with Oleg Deripaska. FBI seemed to have blinders on all that time. I think you dealt with some of this when you were at the House Intelligence Committee. Disturbing to see the FBI unwilling to see the problems that the CIA could see.
I don't even know if they're unwilling is the right word. You're right, because if they had asked the questions that needed to be asked, then we wouldn't be in this mess. But they knew what questions not to ask. They knew what questions not to ask the FISA court. They knew what questions not to ask FBI leadership, because they wanted a conclusion that was already arrived to, that Donald Trump was a Russian asset that needed to be taken out and that facts be damned. And that is the problem with what I call the government gangsters that were running the FBI. That's actually the title of my new book, my adult book, that is coming out hopefully very soon here, if the government ever releases my transcript, my manuscript. But what happens is these folks have an internal cabal that's destroying the FBI. It was then Comey. It's now, and Rosenstein. And then it was Rosenstein and Wray later. And now it's Garland and Wray. And they have destroyed the Department of Justice. They have said, we will basically not mete out justice unilaterally, even though Merrick Garland's running around out there saying they will prosecute without fear or fervor or any bipartisanship bias. But that's exactly what they're doing, because they have outcomes in mind that they want to achieve, and they reverse engineer. That is not what's supposed to happen in modern day American jurisprudence, but it's what happened. It's what's happening with the Biden case. And that has exposed one of their biggest flanks in their operation, is sort of, as they say, they're executing justice, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Last question. We had a story in the last 48 hours at Just the News. Our reporter tracked more than 200 people who left U.S. intelligence agency jobs, CIA, FBI, NSA, NSC, and DHS, to go into the big tech industries, and specifically into the area of compliance and quality control, meaning disinformation and censorship offices. Some of them have very clear liberal biases expressed in their personal opinions on Facebook. One of them acknowledged pretty candidly, there are real no rules. No one agrees what we should do. And that power in his hands to censor an American's opinion actually was kind of scary to him. This revolving door between U.S. intelligence and big tech, probably the reason why big tech was so receptive to some of the censorship requests. How does it get fixed?
Simple. And I think it's something that President Trump just put out. You have to put an all-out ban across the board, so that these people in the intelligence community cannot go out and get a golden parachute after failing to do their jobs for the United States of America, and then going out and getting seven-figure payday to continue the censorship that they were a part of while they were inside the government, which was illegal to begin with. And that's it. That's what you have to do. You have to put out a ban. And that punishes a lot of the good people in the IC, John, unfortunately. But that's the only way to root it out. And now you have, you know, how many dozens of people at Facebook from the FBI, how many scores of people at Twitter. And you've now seen the emails come out and the documentation come out that shows they specifically were engaging with their former colleagues, be it at Twitter or Facebook or wherever, having weekly meetings up leading up to presidential and congressional elections to suppress actual free speech based on the subject and who the person was, not based on whether or not it was actually criminal or not, which is the very definition of things that happen in a dictatorship, not in a constitutional republic. So the simple answer there is that you have to ban them. And it's unfortunate because it'll harm the people who have served, so many of these people have served our country for decades and then need employment afterwards. But that's what happens when you let these sort of government gangsters come in. Yeah. And if I can, just a quick second on my new book, John, I think I've told you about it, but Government Gangsters over at governmentgangsters.com is a book on how we have exposed the deep state agency by agency. And I list every government gangster by name and their corrupt actions. But more importantly, I tell everybody how we go through every agency and department and fix it. And that's over at pre-sale right now, governmentgangsters.com. And you can, since John Solomon, you all can have 20% off for one more day at governmentgangsters.com. It's already skyrocketing up the charts. And of course, ironically, the DOD is withholding the release of my manuscript, but it's coming out. We're going to fight them. This book's going to the top, and it's going to help educate Americans on what happened and what we've been talking about these last 6 years. But most importantly, John, how we restore these agencies and departments to serve the American people.
That's what's key about everything you've done in your work, Cash. You not only expose the problem, you try to put on the table solutions that you get it fixed. And I think that's what Americans want. They're tired of people throwing up their hands or accepting the status quo or complaining but not fixing the situation. You've never done that. You always jump in there and you put your finger on the solution as well as the problem. And I think that this book is going to be a bestseller because of the fact that you give a cogent definition of what the government gangster problem is and then how do we fix it. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for the solution now. And we're really super excited to go check that out. That's going to be a big, big, big book.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it. As always, let me get that in.
Well, you've done a lot for your country and a lot more on the horizon, I sense, just from the stuff you're doing. But a great honor to have you on today, my friend. We'll be looking for that book, and we're going to learn a lot more. I have a funny feeling about Oleg Deripaska and the FBI in the next few months.
Absolutely. Great to be with you, John.
Thanks a lot, my friend. We'll talk soon. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, the exclusive interview Amanda Head and I did last night with Jim Jordan. You won't want to miss it. He's got a big announcement about how he's going to fix the censorship problem in America. You're going to want to catch that right after this commercial break. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special. 4 years for $30 and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews.
Welcome back, everybody, from the FBI raid at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate late last summer to Joe Biden's legal counsel very quietly handing over classified documents just before midterms to former Vice President Mike Pence, now turning in classified documents that he found and his attorneys found. It seems to me that perhaps Obama and Clinton and Bush and, my gosh, even Carter should be searching their sock drawers 2 or 3 times just to make sure. But have these situations all been handled the same? Well, here to react to the latest document debacle, especially pertaining to Joe Biden, is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan. Congressman, I wanted to get your response to the latest news on all of this and how your legislative body can end all of this.
Well, I mean, we got a number of committees looking into it. I think the big takeaway for so many Americans is we want equal treatment. We want, you know, the same standard for President Trump should be applied to Joe Biden or Secretary Clinton. I mean, we want equal treatment under the law. It's one of the big concerns we have as Republicans, as Americans. It's why we have this select committee focused on what we think is the political operations and political focus of the Justice Department. So we want equal treatment under the law. And one of the things that stood out to us, I think, this weekend, there was a story. It was a Washington Post story where it said that there was an understanding between the White House and the Justice Department on keeping the Biden document issue quiet. Well, I mean, what does that mean? Because that certainly wasn't the case with President Trump. It was anything but quiet with pictures and cameras and helicopters and everything else when they raided his home. So I think that's the sort of the big concern I think so many of us have. Let's have an equal standard here, equal treatment, and let's get the facts for the American people.
There was a large sound of applause when you announced the Special Select Committee on Weaponization of Federal Law Enforcement. What is its first mission? As it gets started, where are some of the first things that we might see in public of the committee's work?
Well, I think we're going to hear from the whistleblowers. Now, many of them have been, we believe, retaliated against. And as I've said many times, including on your show, that we've now had over a couple dozen whistleblowers, FBI agents, come forward and talk to us about what they've seen at the Justice Department, the political nature of the things they've seen. The very first whistleblower came and talked to us about the whole school board situation from a year and a half ago. So we anticipate many of those individuals are going to be willing to be deposed. As soon as we actually get the committee formed and Democrats name people to the committee, then we will be able to move forward and conduct those depositions. But we want to do that. And then I think many of them are going to be willing to testify as well. So that's, I think, where we start. Not to mention the people who've been targeted. I want to talk to the 25 people who have, and we've talked to some of these, but the 25 people who were targeted by the system Merrick Garland set up with his memorandum, the parents, the mom who was I want to talk to these people. I think some of those are going to be willing to come forward as well.
Wow. Powerful stuff.
Congressman, I have a feeling that there are going to be quite a few people who don't necessarily want to come talk to you and Chairman Comer as well, but a lot of the folks who are conducting these investigations. What tools do you plan on using to compel them to come and give some answers?
Well, obviously, when you're in the majority, you have the ability to subpoena folks. So we will be doing that, subpoena documents, subpoenaing information, subpoenaing individuals to come testify. We will use that when we have to. We think that's important, and that's, again, one of the key elements you have, key tools you have, if, in fact, you're in the majority. But I do think, and we just know this is going to happen. The agencies are going to fight us every step of the way. So you try to get information from other places. Let's take the Twitter files and this cozy relationship that we now know existed between big government and big tech to keep information from the American people and to shape and mold the narrative about all kinds of issues. And we know, of course, with the Hunter Biden story just days and weeks before the most important election, I think we can get information from the tech companies, which we may not be able to get from the FBI or the Department of Justice. So we'll use that. We'll talk to the whistleblowers, as I said. We'll talk to people who've been targeted. But we'll do everything we can to get the information, to get the truth on the table. And I always stress this one point. The reason this is so important is because when you have unequal treatment under the law, you no longer have this, we're the greatest country ever, but America is not America if you have different treatment for different people based on their political beliefs. And that's what I think so many Americans understand we now have from this Justice Department. And the first step to stopping that, the very first thing you have to do is expose it, get all the facts on the table, get the truth and all the information to the country. And that's what we're committed to doing in the course of this Congress.
There's nothing like facts. They're such a stubborn thing, and they have a way of informing the American public. I want to ask you, I know earlier you talked about an allegation that one of the whistleblowers brought about an effort to thwart the Hunter Biden investigation in 2020 in the Washington field office, some intelligence analysis coming in, giving a false story. Do you have any other reason, any other evidence to suggest that the U.S. Attorney Weiss or others don't have a free hand to go ahead and make the decision? It seems like this a probe of Hunter Biden's been going on 4 years. It seems like they could have come to a resolution by now.
I don't, John. You know, who knows what's taking so long? It seems like these investigations always take forever. Sure. I mean, I even think about the Durham investigation. You and I have talked about that multiple times, but they always seem to take a long time. So I don't have any insight. But that, I think, is definitely something that you'll see Mr. Comer look into as well as chairman of the Oversight Committee. Again, our focus is getting to the truth, getting to the facts, doing whatever we have to do the oversight that our, frankly, it's our constitutional duty to do that, to do it in a vigorous way, to do it in an aggressive way, but to do it in a way that's consistent with the Constitution, and mostly to do it in a way that protects the First Amendment, which I think we've seen attacked so much by the Biden administration over the last 2 years.
Absolutely. Congressman, you mentioned a moment ago big government and big tech, and John has an article over at justthenews.com about over 200 members of personnel from the intelligence community who have now been embedded in big tech. And for a long time, I think Americans have seen a different cyclical thing that happens in Washington, D.C., where you have members of Congress who then filter into K Street and they have these really cushy jobs. And it seems like we're kind of seeing the same thing with the intelligence community. morphing into big tech.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that this is a problem of lucratizing what is supposed to be public service.
Yeah, no, I think a very good comparison for how long as we've seen former members of Congress then go become lobbyists and advocate and do that. Now it's a different animal. It's folks in the executive branch who now go to the big companies, the big tech companies. And of course, the most telling example is probably Jim Baker, who was right in the middle of this effort to suppress the Hunter Biden story, as I always say, just days and weeks before the most important election we have, election for president of the United States. And it was all sort of built together with the 51 former intel officials first writing the letter, and then the weekly meetings between Elvis Chan, the agent in San Francisco, and the tech companies talking about be on the lookout for Russian misinformation and Russian disinformation and a Russian information operation. Be on the lookout for all that, as that letter said, and how this was all kind of fit together to keep information from the American people and to mold and shape the narrative, again, to, it seems to us, in a way to influence that election. And of course, recent polling suggests if the Americans would have, American people would have known that, that would have changed the outcome of the 2020 election. So that is frightening stuff, because it's not supposed to work that way in this great country. My colleague had a great line when he said, when is the FBI just going to stay out of elections and let the American people decide? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, it was suppressing the Hunter Biden story. And 2022, they raided President Trump's home 91 days before the election, and 6 days before the election, they knew about Biden doing the same darn thing, and they didn't tell us. So just stay out of it and let we, the people, decide who we want as our commander-in-chief and who we want representing us in the United States Congress.
Yeah, people are cheering for that, I'm certain. Congressman, last question for me. The idea of censorship, is there a way to tie the hands of FBI and intelligence to keep them out of the business of censoring Americans' opinions? And is that a legislative fix you're likely to pursue?
When government's involved in pressuring and working with private sector to keep information from the American people, we believe that's a direct attack on the First Amendment. This is something we will definitely look into in the Judiciary Committee. I think we will have hearings on that issue. I anticipate multiple hearings. Think about this, John. If you just looked at the Twitter files, everything we learn in each kind of batch of Twitter files, to use a term that's being used now a lot about the documents, the classified documents from Biden, but each batch of those Twitter files, I think there's a hearing there on what took place and how government was pressuring the private sector, working with the private sector to limit the information of the American people, that the American people got to see, and limit Americans' First Amendment free speech rights.
All right, folks, we got one more to go, and it's a good one. The former CIA station chief from Moscow, one of the brightest minds in the United States intelligence community, Dan Hoffman, joins us. We're going to talk about the Ukraine war right after this commercial break. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. As we mentioned at the top of the show, the Biden administration has authorized the release of some very important military tanks to Ukraine to further Ukraine's effort to repel the Russian aggression in their country. Big development. We've got a perfect person to come in and handicap what's going on. Longtime CIA officer, one of the most trusted voices in national security. He is Dan Hoffman. Dan, great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it.
It's a great honor. You always make sense of a very complicated world. This is a big moment between the Germans announcing their willingness to help Ukraine with tanks and now America giving tanks. This should help the Ukrainian effort quite a bit. How important is this?
It's pretty important. The British kind of broke the ice by providing 14 of their Challenger tanks. And then there was a lot of talk and a lot of persuasion efforts on the part of the Biden administration to get the Germans to deliver their Leopard tanks. They run on diesel fuel, which is a lot better than the jet fuel that we use for our Abrams tanks. But, you know, the Germans didn't want to proceed without kind of that top cover of U.S. support. And so the United States is providing 30 M1 Abrams tanks. And Germany and their allies will send 88 tanks. Tactically on the battlefield, it means a lot. We're looking at, you know, a spring offensive from both sides. It's going to get, it's going to get pretty kinetic there. And particularly around the area of the Donbass, it really, you know, you got to have tanks. And the Ukrainians have taken a lot of Russian tanks, the T-72s and others, but those have worn down and they need new ones. And this is going to give Ukraine a good edge, a good fighting edge.
Yeah, and it's that offensive that is in the near offing that I think really has the Ukrainians in need of this hardware. The intelligence seems to be pretty good. Our CIA director, I believe, was in Ukraine in the last few days giving a briefing. Ukraine, when you handicap the war, Russia looks like it's settling in for a long slog. Ukraine looks like it feels like it can keep its momentum going. Is that possible that Ukrainians will keep their momentum and the military victories going?
I think the Ukrainians feel like they want to end this war as fast as they can for a whole host of reasons. First of all, the Russians are raining down hell on Ukrainian civilians. They've bombed maternity wards. They've destroyed Ukraine's infrastructure, deliberately bombed neighborhoods and hospitals and schools. Millions of Ukrainians have been forced to flee their homes. Millions of refugees now live overseas. Ukraine kind of wants peace and their country back. And so they want to end this as fast as possible. And the longer it delays the end, the worse it is for them. That's why there's been some criticism of the Biden administration for what a lot of people call escalation paralysis, this concern that we shouldn't give Ukraine what they need, long-range artillery, before it was air defense and tanks, out of some concern that it would escalate. Well, Russia's escalated the war, and the only way to end it is to take the fight to the Russian enemy.
Yeah, that's right. If you're in, you're all in. The war is not fought with half-heartedness. There's no doubt about that. The end objective, the Biden administration sometimes struggles to describe what victory is for the United States, what victory is for Ukraine. You do a much better job of that. But what do you think the objective for the United States should be to define a victory here?
So first, I would start with this. President Biden does need to speak to the American people. And no better day maybe than on February 7th, State of the Union address. That would be a good time to do it. You know, he's been criticized in some quarters by not giving Ukraine enough and fast enough. He's criticized in other quarters for doing too much. So he's got to explain to the American people why this is in U.S. national interest to help Ukraine defend themselves, you know, from a nuclear armed state mounting an imperial land grab. That's what this is all about. And, you know, if you're looking for return on our investment, Ukraine has decimated Russia's military. They've done more than any NATO member has ever done, you know, to counter, defend, and ultimately deter Russian aggression. So it's in our interest, but my goodness, the president needs to take a page out of President Reagan's book or FDR's book or JFK, somebody, and explain to us what's going on and why it matters to us.
Yeah, that is the missing component. And it's that lack of leadership that left a very muddled message for American people. Americans are very sympathetic to what Ukrainians are going through. They know who the aggressor is. They know that Russia hasn't been a good actor on this. But that presidential explanation of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what victory is, has been the missing component throughout this. There are some in Russia who say, watch what you wish for. Maybe you'll get Putin overthrown or he'll die. But those coming up behind him are even more hardlined. Or maybe if Russia's facing a major loss, they would be tempted to use nuclear weapons. How do you assess those threats? Is that propaganda or are those real concerns?
I think those are things that our intelligence community just has to be tracking. You know, the inner turmoil in the Kremlin right now and in Russian power circle. Look, they failed miserably in this war effort. And in the past, when they failed, whether it was 1905 in the war with Japan or 1917 World War I, those led to, you know, an attempted failed revolution, the case in 1905, and a real one in 1917. And then Brezhnev's, you know, invasion of Afghanistan ultimately is certainly one reason why the Soviet Union collapsed. So tracking, you know, the inner circle, Putin's inner circle, and who is potentially going to be moving against him, that's key for our intelligence community. I'm sure the Biden administration, like other administrations before, you know, they're asking those questions. And it's just reading those tea leaves about what would happen after Putin is gone. He will go, and it probably won't be because of old age. But reading the tea leaves is awfully difficult. There are so many options. And certainly Putin is facing those threats himself. His erstwhile ally, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who runs the Wagner Group, has been very critical of the Russian military. And he's trying to make out that it's the Wagner Group that's doing all the fighting and responsible for whatever victories Russia's enjoying, which really isn't much of anything at all. He presents a real problem for Putin. That's why Prigozhin's general, Surovkin, was removed as the lead battlefield commander for Ukraine and replaced with Valery Gerasimov, the Army Chief of Staff, and Putin's guy.
Yeah, no doubt. The internal pressures on Putin are very real, and they're becoming more public, too, which I think is unusual in the recent Russian history, sign of weakening. Last question. China seems to have its finger a little bit in this mess, clearly helping Russia to some degree. Is there a long-term China-Russia alliance building here, or is this just a matter of China seeing an opportunity to mess with the United States?
So China's playing a pretty smart game here, and it's a fine line. But I'm going to give you a little counterintuitive view. I think China is very happy to see Russia losing this war because it makes Russia very weak, and China will exploit that for their own reasons and their own purposes. China wants to infiltrate Russia's traditional sphere of influence. That means the Caucasus and Central Asia. They're doing that. And Russia's not there to really prevent them. Same thing in Africa and the Middle East. It's open field running for China with Russia down. And the Chinese would like the Russians to think, sure, they're great partners and friends. But at the end of the day, the Chinese will give the Russians a little bit of help, but they're not giving them enough help to really cause much of a difference in the war. And again, I think China just sees really great economic opportunities to exploit Russia, which is now sending most of their hydrocarbons, gas and oil, to China at reduced prices. So the war is actually good for China. We shouldn't assume that it's has bad, you know, ramifications for China. I think it's actually probably okay for them.
Yeah, no, so important. Dan, these are such great insights. We're so lucky. A lot of people have struggled to understand what's going on. You always bring us a lot of clarity. Thanks so much for spending time with us today and giving us a great interview.
Hey, always a pleasure, John. Take care.
Great honor, my friend. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. So grateful you can join us today. A big thank you to our guests, Kash Patel, Jim Jordan, Dan Hoffman, three very well-versed guests who gave us a good tour of all the big stories going on from the Ukraine war to the Biden classified document scandal. We had you covered on all those today. Check out justthenews.com 24/7. We've got you covered with breaking headlines. And be sure to download the app, the Just the News app, on the iOS Apple platform and the Android Google Play platform. A great way to experience Just the News in three formats. You can read it, you can watch it, you can listen to it. That is a great idea. And we're hoping that you'll take advantage of that. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you, and God bless this extraordinary country of the United States. As he always has, you've been listening to John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.